Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 1:34 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 27th. I thought we'd kick off today with Japan and the yen. Let's just simply ask ourselves filter questions. Is it trending or ranging? Well, I think we can pretty much conclude that it's broadly ranging, but that there is certainly a downward bias to the trend we see in front of us. So the yen has been finding support at successively, or the perhaps better to characterize it as the dollar encountering resistance at successively lower levels over the course of the last 5 years. Now, Japan announced today that they are going to have a trillion dollar stimulus. Well, that is obviously something that is going to help to stimulate activity in the stock market, and the Nikkei was in positive territory today, and it will raise questions about the ability of the yen to continue to hold on to its gains. The Nikkei has now sustained a move back above the 20,000 level. It is in the region of the trend mean, but the bigger picture here is that it has now been able to push back up into the overhead trading range. And if it can sustain the move above 20,000, well, then we can conclude at least that this is more than short-term steadying, that it has in fact put in a low of medium-term significance. But again, let's just simply look at the market and ask ourselves, is it trending or ranging? Well, it's certainly trending. We've obviously had this shock and very deep decline over the course of the last few months and an equally impressive rebound. But broadly speaking, it does look like a trend, whereas this range over the last 2.5 years could potentially be a type 3 top. In order to confirm that, then the pushback above 20,000 would indeed have to fail. So we're at a rather critical juncture here. Whether, in fact, the move that we've seen recently holds or not is going to be an important one. Now, when we then look at some other regional markets and simply ask ourselves the same question, well, especially when we think about markets that are anywhere related to China, it would be difficult to say that we still have a trend. In fact, the price today is pretty similar to where the Hang Seng was trading 10 years ago. So that's difficult to rationalize a trend from. We have had periods when there have been persistent moves on the upside and on the downside, and over the last 2.5 years it has been primarily on the downside. We've had a near-term low put in March. There is the potential that we have a higher reaction low forming now, but the question that needs to be answered is how much of an effect is the outlook for the status of Hong Kong going to affect stock market investors. The USA has now concluded that Hong Kong is not an autonomous region, and therefore, logically, it should not be afforded the same, the same way of looking at it from a trade and economic perspective as it would have in the past. On top of that, China is pushing the one country, two systems as agreement to its absolute limits because they're calling the USA's bluff. They believe that the US will not have the willingness to rescind Hong Kong's special trading status, not least because they don't want to be blamed for economic hardship that Hong Kong would subsequently experience. But the USA is probably going to hit China in different ways. For example, the CFO of Huawei lost her bid to stop an extradition from Canada to the USA today. It means that she's going to be extradited and tried in a US court. This is obviously something China did not want, and there have been a number of Canadian citizens apprehended in the mainland in retribution for the fact that she was put under house arrest in the first place. So This does suggest there is an additional flashpoint, but the broad trend is towards decoupling. And Hong Kong is obviously part of that. There is the potential that China is willing to sacrifice Hong Kong in a bid to further strengthen its hold over the entire region. And that's being, I think, that's clearly evident in the rangy, volatile environment that we've had for the Hang Seng for most of the last decade. It's very similar to the kind of situation that we have on the mainland, because when we look at the CSI 300 over the course of the last decade, well, then it's been much more rangy than trending. And the range has been comparatively narrow over the course of the last 18 months, going from about 3,500 to more or less 4,000. It's had a succession of higher reaction lows since March, but gee, they really do have to hold if the benefit of the doubt is to be given to higher to lateral ranging. One of the potential beneficiaries of Hong Kong losing its trading status would be Hong Kong, would be Singapore. When we look at Singapore's trend over the last decade, again, we're presented with ranging rather than trending. And in fact, at 2500 has been an important area of support. We saw a dip below that level in March. It has recouped some of the decline. It is now pausing in the 2500 point level. Obviously, this area needs to hold. If it sustains a move below 2500, well, then we are looking at a significant bear market environment rather than a temporary hiatus. Well, what this also suggests is that international investors are taking a step back from anything related to China. Then, when we look at what's going on in India, well, the market was in positive territory today. It is firming from the 9,000 level, and 9,000 was the extent of the rebound that we saw in March. So we are seeing now that past resistance is becoming future support, and India is likely to be one of the prime beneficiaries of intensifying competition between the USA and China. The fact that there is an ongoing border skirmish between India and China is again further evidence that China is experiencing greater competition regionally from countries that feel they have support from the USA to back their territorial claims. And that is something that is likely to be exacerbated as we move further into a period of decoupling. China's bid to try and recoup its growth from or following the lockdowns is likely to be very much infrastructure focused. That is likely to be beneficial for Australia, and Australia is currently stimulating. So the stock market might have been in negative territory today, but at least it is pushing up and out of the most recent range. And this pushing up and out of the most recent range is a condition we've seen in a number of other markets. It's evident, for example, in the DAX index. And of course, Europe is getting ready to print 500 mil, excuse me, billion dollars worth of support for southern countries. That is not only simply a stimulus, but it's also a recognition that the fiscal straitjacket that was self-imposed after the sovereign wealth crisis, which again was also self-imposed, not least because there was a complete unwillingness to write off bank debts in the peripheral countries. Well, all of that has contributed to the rise of populism and to meager growth and high unemployment for the last decade. And there is the potential, at least, that the fiscal straitjacket is going to be abandoned, that there is a clearer recognition within the Eurozone that federalism is the only real solution if they're going to hold together. The DAX index has pushed up and out of its most recent range. It was in positive territory in here today. And that, I think, is rather interesting that we have a similar condition in the Dow Jones, for example, or, for example, the Russell 2000. What I've been highlighting over the course of the last few months is the synchronicity that we're seeing for a significant number of these global indices, that they all share similar patterns. Now, the FTSE 100 has lagged somewhat in terms of its ability to push up and out of that range, but it is likely to play catch up with the wider market. There is the additional point that the yield currently outstanding on the FTSE 100 is 4.67%. The yield on 10-year gilts is considerably less than that. In fact, it's only 19 basis points and compressing. Well, anyone who wants to pick up a yield, their options within the government bond markets are really quite constrained these days, whereas there is the clear potential to pick up an additional yield in the equity market. And that is, I think, going to be a significant factor in continued strength in stock markets, that investors can capture a yield and they can capture capital appreciation, because there is such a clear willingness by central banks and governments to print their way out of trouble. And we are seeing waves of additional liquidity breaking over the global market. A trillion in additional spending from Japan, 500 billion from Europe, the potential for the US money supply to continue to expand, additional quantitative easing measures, additional stimulative measures, and the list goes on. The fact that in emerging markets are engaged in quantitative easing today is something that was considered impossible a decade ago, and it is practically de rigueur today. And I think that is part of the reason why gold has been so steady, that there is less demand for safe havens today, because we know more about the coronavirus. One of the biggest challenges that it poses is the ease of transmissibility, and it tends to be highly infectious. So that continues to have or pose a threat to the ability of healthcare sectors to manage an influx of patients in an effective manner. But when we then think about what the mortality rate is, well, it's not the same. There were panicky estimates back in February that it could be anything up to 3 or 4%, which would be 40 times more than what has just been updated. They now believe it could be 0.4%. Well, influenza, or the seasonal flu, is 0.1%. So the coronavirus is still four times more fatal than a seasonal flu, but four times is not 40 times. And the need, therefore, for lockdowns is obviously less compelling. The continued stimulus that we're getting, and just one announcement after another of additional stimulative measures, has been a significant factor in markets being able to push back on the upside in here today. Initially, we saw that prices were in negative territory, but we had a significant reversal around 3 hours into the trading session, and then the Nasdaq, for example, trended higher all day. That is particularly relevant for a share like Amazon, where it had a key reversal four sessions ago and downside follow through. It could have broken on the downside today. In fact, it was down significantly at one point and then was able to close way off the lows in here today. That was also quite evident in demand coming through for the biotech sector, and it reversed an intraday decline to finish up in modestly positive territory. That's, I think, one of the clearest confirmations that support has now been found around 4,000, whereas it had represented a significant area of resistance back in 2015. Well, the market has been ranging for the last 5 years, but this does look like a potential breakout, and ranges are explosions waiting to happen. So China has been ranging for a prolonged period. It's going to be difficult to come up with a narrative to explain why it should break out and rally anytime soon. But the biotech sector has clearly got a narrative for why it should do better, and there is the clear potential that it is going to be able to sustain a break up and out of its range. The other significant sector that has been ranging for a prolonged period is the gold miners ETF, and it has clearly broken back above $30. Now, that area should represent an area of support on any pullback, and the price has been a little weaker over the course of the last 2 weeks. Any significant pullback towards $30 would be a buying opportunity, but we may not see it come back that far. In fact, the fact that it was off its lows in here today suggests that perhaps this is a near-term low for the gold mining sector. And silver prices were also in positive territory today. What I find really quite comforting is that we did have a stab on the downside 4 sessions ago, and it has not been improved upon. In fact, we've had a rebound over the last couple of days. It's been, in fact, one day down, one day up, but the region of the 200-day moving average and the $17 area continues to hold. This looks like a failed downside break, and it is likely that we are going to go back up and test the $20 level. Then it's likely silver will break on the upside. It's usually we see gold go first, and silver follows, and then silver outperforms in the trending phase of a gold bull market, and it usually peaks ahead of gold. So, in other words, it lags at the beginning and leads at the end, and that is certainly something that we saw last time round, and it looks like it is being repeated on this occasion. Then, when we look at the oil price, we had a meaningful rebound in oil prices in the latter part of April up until recently, but Brent crude was down $2 in here today. The reality is that global growth is going to have difficulty getting back to where it was in January. Now, the big question that remains outstanding is the economic recovery following the credit crisis in 2008 and 2009 was impressive in terms of its duration, but not impressive in terms of its size. The rebound in growth was significantly below par compared to other economic growth cycles. Now, the question that's outstanding is that going to be repeated, or is growth going to rebound in a more aggressive manner? There is obviously a question that is underlying that when we look at oil prices, because the price has rebounded back into the $35 area, and now the big question is it going to be able to hold it with economic growth still modest, and consumers have been scared to death by the media and by the lockdowns and the loss of jobs. Well, it's going to take time for that confidence to recover. There is likely to continue to be a significant divergence between Main Street and Wall Street, because the quantity of liquidity that is getting poured into the markets is helping to inflate asset prices. And in many respects, this is quite similar to the Y2K issue. Eventually, we're going to see that the coronavirus was an upsetting event, and there were probably thousands of needless deaths, but that the economic impact was probably exaggerated by the lockdowns, rather than what would have happened otherwise. But the stimulative measures will eventually have to be paid for. And it's likely that growth following an initial rebound is probably going to have difficulty really manifesting on the upside. It's going to be heavily reliant on technological innovation, on the potential for demand to come back into the economy from different sources rather than strictly retail or foot traffic, and that transition is going to take time. So we have got the clear potential that liquidity is going to stoke the stock market, but when it eventually ends, or when some of that liquidity stops, then we're going to have a significant hiccup. In the meantime, we continue to see the strength in the market continue. And I think the big near-term question is how much resistance is 10,000 going to pose for the NASDAQ 100? The fact that it was so well off the lows in here today is really quite impressive, that it has been able to hold this sequence of higher reaction lows for the last 2 months is equally impressive. Now we're in a significant area of potential resistance, but we would need to see clear evidence of downward dynamics and selling pressure to signal that the rebound off the lows in March has in fact run its course. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.